Welcome to Text Driven Tuesday on the brand new Andrew Paul Cannon podcast, where we consider issues in ministry, exposition, and theology. I want to thank you for joining me, and before you forget, hit that subscribe button. No, I don't care if you follow me, but I hope to offer something that will benefit you in your ministry, church, and walk with Christ. And be sure to check out andrewpaulcannon.blog for expository material. If you have any questions or thoughts during the episode or at any time, be sure to send those in. I'm no expert, just a man with thoughts. You don't have to agree with me, but I hope we are sharpening one another like iron sharpens iron. Let's dig in.
Amen. Amen. How many of you are really thankful just in general? Okay, maybe not by a show of hands. Some of you may be embarrassed. No, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of weird to think about just thankfulness and the opportunity we have to be thankful in life, to give praise for the things we have, because we get, as people, human nature, we get caught up a lot thinking about bad stuff, stuff that isn't going our way, stuff that stresses us out, the frustrations last week I was supposed to go pick up a slab of wonderful Flaming Box Elder maple, which is a very rare species of maple, and I got a call from the mill toward the end of the week saying their planer broke on them. And I found myself just getting a little frustrated, but then I was like, but if I'm just frustrated because I can't go pick it up, like how frustrated must they be that they now have to repair a piece of equipment? And so, you know, you have to be understanding about stuff like that. But frustrations, man, they so easily just creep up on us. One thing doesn't go according to plan, and frustrations creep in, stress creeps in life. And then we're reading the Bible here. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which we'll get to next week. And it says, in everything, give thanks, which is interesting, right? And everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's interesting to me as we're reading through the Bible, and there it says that a heart of thanksgiving is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. In everything, a heart of thanksgiving is God's will. Like God wants us to, in our lives, be thankful for what we have, be thankful for our circumstances, be thankful for the way He's working things together, even if it's not going according to our plans. That God cares so much about us having thankful and joyful hearts that Paul comes out in 1 Thessalonians and just tells us straight, it's God's will for our lives, that we are thankful, joyful, filled with praise in our lives. And this makes me think, you know, we hear in well-meaning people all the time will say things like, God doesn't care so much about our happiness. He wants your obedience first and foremost. God does want our obedience, okay? It's the first part of that I question, that God doesn't want us to be happy. I think God does want us to be happy. I think He works things together for our good. Okay, but if the scriptures are telling us here that having a thankful heart is God's will for us in everything, that leads me to believe that maybe God does want us to be happy, to experience joy, to have a life that's worth praising Him for, that He desires for His children to have good things, not bad things. Now, He'll always work things together for our good. That may mean seasons of trial and tribulation. It may mean we don't always get what we want, but I understand that God, He knows better than us what we need and what is good for us and the things that will bring us true joy in life. So this passage in 1 Thessalonians, it's quite literally about producing a thankful spirit in the people of God, a heart that is filled with thanksgiving, joy, praises to God's holy name, and the goodness of Christ. And some of the things in here are kind of surprising. So starting in verse 14 there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly." This is kind of weird. We're thinking about Thanksgiving. We're thinking about what it means to have a happy heart and what leads us to have happy hearts and to have blessings in this life. And one of the first things Paul says to the church is, because we are to be thankful in everything, admonish the unruly, which is really kind of interesting. You know what it means to admonish someone? So when my son does something that's not good for him, and I say, "Son, that's not good for you. Here's maybe a better thing to do, or maybe you shouldn't be so selfish in the way that you're approaching this thing," and I offer him a word of correction and perhaps some discipline with that, okay? Yes, we have to discipline our children or they grow up to be spoiled brats. Huh? That's what it means to admonish someone. And here Paul's saying in the church, offer words of encouragement. It's not words of correction. It's not admonishing one another for every little thing. Sometimes we can get nitpicky to the point where it's ridiculous, right? But if someone is doing something that's not good for them, especially in the context of the congregation, in the context of the church, Paul here says, admonish them, particularly admonish the unruly. If whatever they are doing is causing chaos, dissension, division, we have the responsibility to admonish that person, the person who is out of order, right? Because God, I mean, he cares about order. Look at the way he's structured the universe and the way he structured his church. And he even gave his chosen nation a law because God cares about us being orderly, according to his will, not according to our own wills, right? But according to his own. So he says, one path to having a heart that's filled with thanksgiving, that produces joy within the congregation, within the church, and within the community, is that we admonish, correct those who are unruly or out of order. And perhaps you have enough life experience to know that when things are chaotic, and maybe all we have to do is turn on the news every once in a while to see, when things get really chaotic, people are much less happy and people are much less thankful. We facilitate thankful hearts by being orderly and admonishing those who are not. Secondly, Paul says to the church, encourage the faint-hearted. So we don't just admonish those who are unruly, we also encourage the faint-hearted. Here's what that means. It means we have to pay attention to people. And the faint-hearted don't always say they're faint-hearted. In fact, most often, people kind of hide that away and pretend to be okay in today's world. It means we care enough about other people that we want to get to know them. It means I care enough about you that I want to get to know you. It means you care enough about one another. You want to be intentional about knowing one another. That when someone is faint-hearted, we can recognize it and we can say, hey, what's going on in your life? How can I be an encouragement to you today? And so there's admonishing the unruly, and there's also encouraging the faint-hearted. This is one of our responsibilities in Christ. Also, Paul goes on to say, help the weak. These are all ways to having a thankful heart, to having joy in life. Help the weak. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. Act on behalf of those who cannot act on their own behalf. This part of this passage of Scripture probably means the most to me in this current season. And just to be blatantly honest, because I see everything that goes on in the world today. You know, we are bombarded with news about conflicts between nations and families and political parties. And in our core, in our hearts, in our bones, we yearn for justice in the world and we yearn for peace. That's why we believe in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who the one who judges the world with justice. Like, we trust in him and we care about those things. Then we read this verse about us standing up for the weak, being strong for those who are weak. And it's like God gives his church the responsibility to be just in an unjust world, to speak justly in a world that is unjust and where people are mistreated. It's like God gives us that responsibility. That's one of the reasons we have such a public forum in church that speaks God's word into the issues of society, because God actually instructs us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. When a Holocaust of unborn babies is dying every day, the church is to speak because those unborn babies cannot speak for themselves. We speak. And we hold the sanctity of life in very high regard because God is the one who creates life. God breathes his breath into human babies. They are his work and his creation. So we speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Not just the unborn, but any person who never gets an opportunity to speak for him or herself, the church, we speak. And it's no small matter. The church, I think I've mentioned it before, is not a family that displays weakness on the topics of society or shies away from speaking on those things. But we speak with boldness and courage, and we are strong for those who cannot be strong for themselves. This makes church, for the men in the room, right? This makes church a little more masculine sometimes than we often think about church being. Because I believe it's men who bear the responsibility to lead their families and the nation, their communities in Christ, to be this strength for the weak. And we should never shy away from that. When we think about war and conflict in the world, it is Christians who speak justice into that. It is Christians who recognize when a people is being oppressed. It is Christians who should be looking to our government and urging our government to take action for the cause of justice in the world. This is who we are in Christ. Okay? We care about these things. And this makes the calling of the gospel, I understand, very political in nature. And I understand, even in this room, there are probably political disagreements. But our politics are not Republican versus Democrat. Our politics are Jesus is King. Jesus cares about justice in the world. Jesus cares about life in the world. Jesus cares about peace in the world because he is the Prince of Peace. And so we stand up for those who cannot stand for themselves, whether it agrees with our worldly political agenda or not. Our mission in Christ is to stand up for the weak. And this is a path to thanksgiving in our hearts. And then probably the most difficult instruction this morning we get from the Apostle Paul, be patient with everyone. Huh? That's, patience is extremely difficult in our lives. Probably the most difficult thing because by nature we are prideful. We focus on self. By nature, we want what we want. We think people ought to be a certain way. We think people ought to achieve a certain spiritual maturity at a certain point in their lives. We think people ought to be self-sufficient by a certain point in their lives. And if they're not, we, instead of being patient, we get aggravated. This is especially true when people are in our families and we don't think they're to a point they should be yet, right? Because we really care about them and we want them to get to that point. It comes from a place of love and care, but when it comes out, it's aggravation instead of patience. And this is much easier said than done. You know, I understand that. Patience has been quite the battle for me in my life. I imagine it has been for for everyone, just because of our pride. And here, the author, Paul, he doesn't just say, be patient with some. He says, be patient with everyone. And that's even more difficult because there are people who are not patient with us. And there are people who treat us badly. And the instruction here is, be patient. Verse 15, see to it that no one repays another with evil for evil, which ties hand in hand with patience, right? If somebody does me wrong, my worldly response is I'm going to hit them back. Yeah? I'm going to return kind for kind, an eye for an eye. I'm going to hit them back. In fact, I'm going to hit them harder than they hit me, right? That's from a worldly perspective, that's what I'm thinking. But then the author here, he instructs us towards something different. Retaliation is not what God's will is for our lives. Instead, and we see this elsewhere, right? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, repay evil with good. And I don't know that I need to explain that any further. Like, it pretty much is an explanation in itself. It's just, it's difficult to live by that. But that's the high calling we have in Christ Jesus. So do you want to be joyful in life? Let me hear from you. Do you want to be joyful in life? Me too. I love to be joyful and I love to be happy. Here are some things that get in the way when we want to have hearts of thanksgiving, when we want to be happy, when we want to be blessed, when we want the things that God wants for us. We refuse to admonish the unruly. We refuse to encourage the faint-hearted. We refuse to help the weak on many occasions. We refuse to be patient with everyone. And we are quick to retaliate, repay evil for evil. Y'all, having hearts filled with thanksgiving, there's a theme here. And that theme is, instead of always doing what I think is best for me, I live life in a way where I consider others to be more important than myself. If we're to boil it down to one statement, that's it. Instead of being selfish in my life, I aim to be selfless, to put others first, to be understanding, and that is the most difficult way to live in this world. And as counterintuitive as it may be, that really is the path to happiness and blessing and joy in this life. You've probably been there. You probably know someone right now who is there. If my whole life is about me getting what I want, that tends to produce a certain attitude in my life, and it's not happiness or blessing or joy or thanksgiving or praise. Typically, that lifestyle leads to bitterness. It leads us to be constantly critical of everything around us. It leads us to be constantly judgmental of other people. And that is not the spirit God wants for us. But that's the spirit we have when we pursue life towards selfish ends. When we do not put others first and we do not consider others to be more important than ourselves. I can say that from experience. I'm sure you probably know that from experience. And you can see it when you look at the world. The most successful people in the world who have lived life to their own gain, to their own advantage, are typically not very happy people. They typically don't have happy homes. There is typically division in their family. And they typically don't have very many good friends. Right? This is a warning against that kind of lifestyle. We think when we live life for our own benefit, when we go and we get all we want, everything we think that will make us happy. Look, the Bible just warns us, don't even start down that road. Now we will anyway, we're sinful people, right? And so the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we will walk down that road anyway. But the Bible warns us against that. Don't live life for yourself and earn yourself this really just bitter kind of spirit. Instead, like God designed it this way from the beginning, and like he knows what he's talking about. Instead, live your life for others. And if you live your life for others rather than yourself, you will be happier, you will be blessed, you will be joyful, you will be thankful in everything, in everything. So I want this. This is a challenge this morning, right? Next week, we get all of the encouragement from this passage of Scripture. So this is a teaser. This is just a teaser for next week, all right? That's all this is. So next week, we'll see how this actually produces thanksgiving in our lives. We'll be encouraged by the idea of thanksgiving. And my prayer is when Thanksgiving rolls around, we're thinking about this, God's will for thanksgiving in our lives, that in everything, we are able to give thanks, experience happiness and joy and blessing as children of God for our own good and the good of all those around us and the good of the kingdom of heaven in our midst.
I want to thank you for joining me. And before you forget, hit that subscribe button. And be sure to check out andrewpaulcannon.blog for expository material,